Penguin Random House Audio presents The Call, Inside the Global Saudi Religious Project by Krithika Varagor, read for you by Priya Iyer. Introduction. You had to admit, the optics were good. 200,000 people, all dressed in white, radiated from the Hotel Indonesia roundabout in central Jakarta. In drone photographs, the effect is serene. At the center is the Socialist Realist Welcome Monument, punctuating a circular pool, and in the five broad roads branching off from it, like the avenues that radiate from the Arc de Triomphe, protesters clogged the streets for a mile in every direction. They went all the way up to the National Monument and beyond, to the Presidential Palace. They came on buses, planes, boats, and on foot from all across Java and even other islands to participate in the largest Islamist demonstration in Indonesian history. The date itself was memorable, November 4th, 2016, or 411. "We came to the palace to enforce the law," said the cleric Habib Rizik Shahab, to rapt silence. "Desecrators of the Quran must be punished. We must reject the leaders of infidels. It is forbidden to accept the leadership of infidels and of people of the Chinese race," he said, exhorting the crowd to reject Ahok, the Chinese Christian governor of Indonesia's capital city. "If our demands are not heard, are you ready to turn this into a revolution?" "We're ready," screamed the crowd, breaking into huge applause. They added spontaneously, "God is great," and others, "Kill Ahok!" It was a bizarre scene in Indonesia, which is the world's largest Muslim-majority country, but it's not really a Muslim nation. Officially, it is a multi-faith country that protects six religions equally, where race and ethnicity have been tacitly elided from political discourse. An overtly Muslim political protest like this had no precedent. Shahab, who is an Indonesian of Yemeni descent, appeared to the crowd like a small god, dressed in white robes and a jade-green turban, unaffected by the heat. Not a drop of rain hit Jakarta that day, which is unusual this close to the equator, and it seemed, indeed, like a sign from God. The 411 rally was billed as an aksi damai, a peaceful protest. It may have been peaceful in format. It was fairly well organized and staffed with thousands of volunteers, but it was virulently hateful in content. The Islamic Defenders Front, FPI, led by Shahab, organized the protest as a show of force against Basuki Cahaya Purnima, widely known as Ahok, the governor of Jakarta. They accused him of blasphemy against Islam and called for his ouster. The pretext was later revealed to be a bankrupt one, since the evidence for Ahok's crime was a doctored video of him referencing a Quran verse. This was not really about Ahok, however, but about displaying the piety and political power of Muslim Indonesians. And for that, it worked. The city shut down all its major arteries that day. At the second peaceful protest on December 12th, the president of Indonesia himself joined them in prayer. The FPI's campaign was more successful than they could have dreamed. The Christian governor lost his bid for re-election, and on top of that, he was sentenced to 2 years in jail. This was a turning point for political Islam in Indonesia, which had never before pierced the public sphere to such an extent. The next presidential election was waged largely on the terms set by the events of 2016, and the vice president of Indonesia today was once its highest Muslim cleric. Both of the 2019 presidential candidates campaigned on their Islamic credentials, and both took whirlwind trips to Mecca just days before the election. Shahab's ahistorical vision came to look like a portent. So where is Shahab today? He's not enjoying the fruits of his labor in Indonesia. He is actually in Saudi Arabia. After the gubernatorial election, he became embroiled in a sexting scandal and fled a warrant for his arrest to Mecca. It is actually not such an unusual choice of refuge, because Shahab's ties to the kingdom stretch rather far back. As a young man in the 1980s, he studied Arabic at the Islamic and Arabic College of Indonesia, LIPIA, a unique Indonesian university in South Jakarta, built, funded, and fully subsidized to this day by Saudi Arabia. He went on to study for 4 years in Riyadh, where he networked with Saudi clerics and burnished his religious credentials. He came back to Indonesia when it became a democracy in 1998 and quickly consolidated his stature as a populist religious vigilante, raiding bars and brothels in Jakarta through his newly formed Islamic Defenders Front. That his organization and vision became so powerful is just one example of how Saudi Arabia influenced many of the conservative religious figures who went on to shape modern Indonesia. Another infamous example is the Bali bombings of 2002, which killed 202 people, mostly tourists, in the world's most deadly terror attack post 9/11. The attacks were planned by a circle of jihadists based at the Al-Mukmin Islamic boarding school in central Java, which was founded with a gift from the Saudi king in 1972. A dense jihadi network coalesced around the school, which was the alma mater of 4 of the Bali bombers. Beyond such flagship investments, more than 50 years of Saudi proselytizing in Indonesia also seeded the virulent intolerance of religious minorities that plagues the country today. In addition to the show trial of its most prominent Christian politician, Indonesia is also now a country where there is a national anti-Shia league and where Ahmadiyya Muslims have been driven from their homes by mobs into refugee camps. As the world's largest Muslim-majority nation and a developing post-colonial state, Indonesia has been subject to the full spectrum of Saudi Arabia's ambitious campaign of proselytization. And while Saudi investments peaked at least a decade ago, as they have in most of the world, their legacy effects are copious. Today, there is a thriving ecosystem of ultra-conservative Salafis, not just in Indonesia, but across Southeast Asia, from Thailand to the Philippines. Saudi investments have fueled jihadis, helped consolidate Indonesia's leading Islamist political party, and produced dozens of ideologues like Habib Rizik Shihab. The Saudi soft power apparatus in Indonesia is unrivaled and includes a dedicated university, large embassy, and powerful standalone religious attaché. Saudi charities also helped put thousands of students in a still-developing country into school and university, and helped rebuild devastated regions like Aceh after the 2004 Boxing Day tsunami. It's not for nothing that Barack Obama, who spent years in Jakarta, pointedly remarked on the more fundamentalist, unforgiving interpretation of Islam that he perceived when he returned there as an adult, which he attributed to Saudi influence. In doing so, he joined an already flourishing discourse of Arabi Sasi. Arabi Sasi was one of the first Indonesian words I learned after I moved to Jakarta in 2016. It is a neologism, meaning Arabization in Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian, and it connotes a whole class of developments: the rise of political Islam, blasphemy charges, the growing popularity of hijabs and burqas, new mosques, louder mosques, new schools, the persecution of religious minorities, Sharia bylaws, and an overall new, visible centrality of Islam in the cultural and political life of a big democracy that was, until 1998, a tightly controlled military dictatorship. The underlying claim of Arabi Sasi is that 5 decades of Saudi Arabia's religious influence in Indonesia had in some way caused all these diverse phenomena. Regardless of how true or false this is, the word points to a generalized anxiety over Saudi money, in Indonesia as in the rest of the world. It seemed to neatly explain how a tropical archipelago, reputed for its tolerance and syncretism, was, by the time I got there in 2016, a theater for hardline Islamists, begrudging at best and violent at worst toward religious minorities, and even the home of a few hundred foreign fighters to ISIS. Saudi Arabia did not cause the conservative turn in Indonesia.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?